strikes.
Here, it's always Halloween. And I'm always your haunted host, Luce Tomlin Brenner. This is a year-round Halloween history and storytelling podcast brought to you by our Patreon Ghoul Gang. Welcome to Small Frights Friday! On these very special episodes, I like to share a curated selection of calls from the All Hallows Hotline and letters from the Eek Mailbag. Wow, that feels good to say. Huh, my goodness gracious. Hello, lovely lanterns. How are you? I have missed you so very much. You may have noticed we've taken a little extended break here at headquarters. 3 weeks turned into 3 months in the blink of an eye. What the Halloween heck happened? Well, much like Halloween itself, the last few months have been both wondrous and terrifying. A few tough things hit me hard all at once, like a fog machine to the face, and I just needed more time to sort them out and deal with them. And during all of that, one big glorious thing has been happening. So back in November, around Thanksgiving and our birthdays, right when we first took this supposedly 2 to 3 week break, Isaac and I realized our wedding was only 5 months away and all we had booked was our venue. So I panicked, and then I panicked a little harder. And of course, after that, I panicked at a volume only dogs can hear. During this time, the sweetest person alive, also known as Isaac, gave me lots of non-caffeinated tea, blankets, and dozens of movies, and baloney sat on my lap and chest a lot, obviously trying to steal my breath. And somehow now, we're almost ready to get married in less than a month. You guys, we're getting married on April 13th, which, while not a fall date, is a 13, which means eventually it will be a Friday the 13th. And so there's a little bit of spookiness baked in. So I still have dozens of pages of notes on final tasks we have to complete, but a lot of it is fun, like cake tasting and our joint bachelorette party, which we're doing this weekend. And we do still have to put together the ceremony and write our vows. This is just a little small thing, the actual wedding part, the party. I got the party stuff done. I was like, let me get the most important details. How much champagne will we have? Here we go. I'll work that out first. So now I just have to write about why we're doing this to begin with. We have been working on this the last few weeks, but I keep crying and dragging it out and making it last longer. Crying out of happiness, of course. Like this past Sunday, I was trying to pick out some readings and I pulled one from The Velveteen Rabbit, which is one of my favorite non-spooky books. And Isaac isn't that familiar with The Velveteen Rabbit. He just knows that every time someone mentions it, I start to cry. So I was reading him like the most famous passage about becoming real. And then as I was reading it to him, my heart exploded as if I had never read it before. I burst into tears and I cried for like 20 minutes. So very beautiful time, very emotional time. Just imagine every time I sit down to write about why I love Isaac so much, I start crying. And then maybe you can get an idea of why I haven't gotten to sit down and actually write about the podcast. If I cried every time I wrote about Halloween, there wouldn't even be a podcast. So that's where I'm at right now. I don't know if I have mentioned this before on the actual podcast. I think I've talked about it with individual lanterns and ghoul gang members before, but this is actually my second marriage. I got married kind of early in my 20s the first time, and it was extremely bad. And when it ended, I truly believed that I would never be loved the way I dreamed of being loved, the way I longed for. I felt like every part of me was just too much for another person to love. I so badly wanted to connect with a romantic partner and share my life intimately with someone, but when that first marriage fell apart in a very spectacular way, because you know me, I can't do anything low key. I was like, oh, cool. Okay, great. I will just lay down in the mud now where I belong and date these actual earthworms. So looking back on those dark times, it feels incredible, unbelievable even, to finally be making this commitment to the person, the kind of person I used to wish for, someone I wished would exist when I was at my lowest, when I was in this bad relationship. Most days now, I still think I conjured Isaac because he's exactly the partner that I have pictured in my head since I was a little girl. And the fact that he is real and I didn't just conjure him up is magical to me. And of course, that kind of magic makes me cry. You know, I keep thinking of this quote from Poor Things because, of course, my favorite film of 2023 is A Frankenstein Story. And I have an episode with Annie Rose Malamut of Girls, Guts, and Giallo coming out soon about it. So this quote is out of context, but I'm hoping it resonates with you, even if you haven't seen the film. It goes like this. We must experience everything, not just the good, but degradation, horror, sadness. This makes us whole, makes us people of substance, not flighty, untouched children. Then we can know the world. And when we know the world is ours. I want to give big, major thanks to our Ghoul Gang subscribers for keeping me sane the last few months and giving me the room to take a little time off so that I can focus on my health and eternal love just for a bit, just a bit. Hey, we have all of eternity. This is why the Patreon community is so important to the life of this podcast, because if my bones fail me due to overwork, or if my heart bursts out of my chest due to undying love, then It's Always Halloween can't continue its mission of exploring Halloween history and storytelling year-round. So your funding ensures that we truly can stay ad-free, independent, and most importantly, sustainable. Thank you, thank you, thank you to those of you who signed up for Patreon the last few months despite not having new main feed episodes. I want to welcome Regan, Jay, Inez, Lana, and Josh to the Ghoul Gang. Your support has made such a huge difference. And please know that even when we take breaks from main feed episodes, we're always going strong on Patreon. So you can party with us over there if you're not getting as much Halloween love as you need here. If you have yet to join as a paying subscriber, hey, no time like the present. In fact, it could be your wedding gift to me. Don't forget that our annual memberships give you 2 months for free, so you can pay monthly or you can pay annually. We have levels starting at $1 a month, $3, $6, $10, $13, $16, and we have different perks and merch available at those levels. So check it out at patreon.com/itsalwayshalloween. We have movie parties, book club, blog posts, our community Discord, are all through the Patreon. And like I said, we've been going strong there since November. This month, March, we are celebrating Eco Horror Month. In December, we did Winter Horrors. January was Edgar Allan Poe Month. February was Black History Month. And then now with spring upon us, the earth is coming alive. I thought it would be fun to explore that theme a little bit deeper. So for book club this month, we are reading Wonderland by Zoya Stage. After years of city life, Orla and Shaw Bennett are ready for the quiet of New York's Adirondack Mountains, or at least they think they are. Settling into the perfect farmhouse with their two children, they are both charmed and unsettled by the expanse of their land, the privacy of their individual bedrooms, and the isolation of life a mile from any neighbor. But none of the Bennets could expect what lies waiting in the woods, where secrets run dark and deep. When something begins to call to the family from under the earth, beneath the trees, and within their minds, Orla realizes she might be the only one who can save them, if she can find out what this force wants before it's too late. If that novel snatches your imagination the way it did mine, then please grab a copy of the book and join us on Tuesday, April 2nd at 6 p.m. to discuss it over Zoom. Coming up on Thursday, March 28th, I'm hosting a double feature movie party with the theme, When Man Meddles, Nature Runs Amok. I wanted to go big, schlocky, and fun with these picks, so we'll be watching Day of the Animals from 1977 and Chud from 1984. Day of the Animals was directed by William Girdler, who did a handful of really fun, over-the-top horror and action movies in the 70s, including another Nature Runs Amok movie titled Grizzly, which I also really recommend. And this film explores the depletion of the Earth's ozone layer and how it causes animals above the altitude of 5,000 feet to run amok, which is very unfortunate for a group of hikers who get dropped off up there by a helicopter just before the quarantine is announced. Highly recommend if you love seeing clueless people terrorized by animals, especially if one of the clueless people is Leslie Nielsen, which it is in this movie. Chud is a sci-fi horror directed by Douglas Cheek, who didn't really go on to direct anything else of note, but did edit two documentaries from the 2000s that I liked. And then it was written by Parnell Hall, and this is the only screenplay he ever wrote, but he's this huge accomplished mystery novelist, which I thought was really funny and interesting. The movie stars a incredible lineup: John Hurd, John Goodman, Daniel Stern. You guys got to see this movie. It's super fun. It's about a New York City police officer and homeless shelter manager who team up to investigate a series of disappearances and discover that the missing people have been killed by humanoid monsters that live in the sewers. Now, the movie Chud is an abbreviation for cannibalistic, humanoid, underground dwellers. But could it possibly mean something else that the government is covering up? You'll have to tune in and join us on March 28th to find out. For these events and all kinds of extra Halloween goodies, visit patreon.com/itsalwayshalloween. And now, can you believe it? It's time for some eek mails. This one comes with the intriguing subject line, Halloween in Belgium. Hi, Luce. First, I want to thank you for your awesome podcast. I've had a hard time listening to podcasts because I have ADHD, but yours I can listen to, and it makes my Halloween heart so happy. I've been a long-time listener. I started in 2022 when I was decorating for Halloween, and I'm still not fully caught up, but almost. So I'm from Belgium, and Halloween didn't exist here until 10 years ago or so. But I loved it before we had it here, because I saw it celebrated in movies, and I always longed for it. So when I was 14 or so, almost 20 years ago, I went trick-or-treating for the first time with a friend. When we rang the doorbell, nobody understood what we were doing. They all asked, "What are you here for?" And we had to explain to everybody what Halloween was and that they were supposed to give us candy. But we still had a really fun night and even did some tricks too. I always saw people toilet paper trees in the movies, so of course we had to do that. I don't know why I always had this connection with Halloween and why I seemed to be the only one in my town and even country who wanted to celebrate it, but I'm so happy I found like-minded lanterns now. I'm also very glad Halloween is more popular here now. This past season, my kids got to celebrate in school the week before, and they get 1 week off for fall vacation. My kids know Halloween is Mom's favorite time of year, so we do all kinds of fun activities. And last Halloween was wonderful, even though we were the only ones in our neighborhood that went trick-or-treating. We dressed up as Batman, Robin, the Joker, and Harley Quinn. I'll send a photo of our costumes. Keep up the good work. Sending a lot of spooky vibes, Tessa. Tessa, I am just delighted to hear that it sounds like you are single-handedly bringing Halloween to Belgium. I think that is incredible, and it shows how dedicated you are. It's hard to celebrate something when other people around you aren't, but you and your family, you are making all the difference. Plus, my goodness gracious, you look so cute in these Halloween costumes. I'll check in with you and see if I can post these on the Instagram, but you look like the perfect little maniacal family. Well, of course, your children are the heroes, but you and your husband, very, very maniacal. So I have to comment on something that really grabbed me in your first paragraph. You mentioned that you have a hard time listening to podcasts because of having ADHD, but you do enjoy mine. And one of the things I've been dealing with the last several months is an ongoing possible ADHD diagnosis, which is news to me as a grown-up who's been on Earth for a very long time and never had any medical doctor or teacher or any grown-up ever say anything to me about it. So perhaps your neurodivergence is attracted to my neurodivergence, which I'm now just discovering, and a lot of things are falling into place for me. What a time. What a whirlwind. I've been learning that especially women with ADHD have very complex and creative inner worlds and love to socialize and get into art. So that explains a lot of my life. How about you, Tessa? How about all of you out there? Very curious to know now if this is just Halloween Nation / Neurodivergent Nation. Could be. Who knows? What a fun twist. I love life filled with mysteries, filled with new information just coming at you 24/7. Just like the citizens of Belgium who opened their doors to you as a child and you as an adult trick-or-treating and being like, you owe us candy. Learn this now. Prepare for us because we will be back next year. You are doing the best job, Tessa. I'm so impressed with you. And I love that you are drawn to Halloween. And it's fantastic that it's getting to be a little more popular there in your country, especially that your kids get to celebrate in school. Heck, you know what I want to celebrate here is getting 1 week off directly after Halloween. You know how badly I could use that? We need to institute a Halloween vacation here. I was going to say here in the States, not right. Here, by here, I mean everywhere. But yes, definitely here in the States too, because starting a week-long vacation on November 1st feels like the best way to fully celebrate Halloween. You go all out on the 31st knowing that you have got a week to recover, that you could even slowly come down as much as you want because you're not going to be expected to be exposed to like a Christmas tree on November 1st. So let's give Tessa more Halloween in Belgium, and then let Belgium give us all 1 week off directly after Halloween. I think that's a really fair trade. Let's get the UN on that. Thank you so much for this fantastic letter, Tessa. It brought so much joy to my heart, and I look forward to hearing how your campaign for more Halloween in Belgium goes this year. Now let's turn to the All Hallows Hotline for another message from an international friend.
Hi, Lucy. It's a long-time listener here, Kia. I know I could just send an email, and I don't know how much it's going to cost me to call this from the UK, but I have to say, I was really curious to hear what the, like, voicemail message was that everyone said was good, and so I decided to call in. That just really creeped me out. That was quite scary. I loved it. I just wanted to call because I said that I would update you on my first ever Halloween in my new house, or my first home. I had 5 trick-or-treaters, which is actually quite a lot for me because, well, not many people trick-or-treat where I live in the UK, like in our little estate. And also our house is really tucked out of the way. So I actually put my pumpkins on a wheelie bin out at the end of our drive so that when you're on the main road, you can kind of just see a little lantern in the distance. And I think it worked because, as I said, 5 came to our house. A devil, a scary clown and werewolf, Harry Potter and Spider-Man. I just wanted to remember their costumes. They probably didn't even think twice about it, but they don't know that they were really special to me because they were the first trick-or-treaters I've ever had to my house. And yeah, I gave 3 of them my book, The Werewolf is scary clown looked like quite a lot older. Obviously, I don't mind. Like, people could trick or treat at any age, but I didn't think that they would appreciate a puzzle book for 7-year-olds. Maybe they would. But I was really, really happy. It honestly made my night. I can't believe how exciting it is to have trick or treaters. I don't know if other people, well, all the people here would understand that. But yeah, I'm so pleased. I just wanted to. Oh, a spirit just knocked something over. And the horn is. Oh, I'm just really happy with that, and I thought I would ring in to let you know. And also to say happy birthday. I hope you have a really fun, spooky birthday. And thank you so much for the podcast. Bye.
Kia, so wonderful to hear from you. I hope you did not spend all of the pennies gifted to you trick-or-treating on Halloween night to call the American number here. Thank you so much. And I'm glad that it was, hopefully, it sounds like it was worth it. It really gave you a scare, which is what we're trying to do here. So it's terrific to hear this update about how fantastic Halloween night was in your new house. I have this idea that these kids that you gave your incredible puzzle books to went to school the next day just absolutely out of their minds with happiness, telling everybody what a cool book they got when a bunch of other people did not get books given to them by the author, mind you, very cool. And that this year you're going to have triple, quadruple the kids pounding down your doors asking for your rad puzzle books. It's got to be a thing that builds, you know, you're the new one in the neighborhood. People don't know how cool you are yet, but that word of mouth is spreading like wildfire. I know it. And this next year, people are going to be like, we need the scary book lady to give us more scary books. Also, very cool that you had a ghost encounter while on the phone. Truly could not have asked for anything better. Thank you for the spooky birthday wishes. You did call at the end of November when it was my birthday. So thank you for being patient while we get new episodes together. And I did have a pretty spooky birthday. I celebrated by seeing Nope in 70mm at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood, built in 1922 by the great theater magnate Sid Grauman, who also opened the famous Chinese Theater, where all the handprints are on Hollywood Boulevard, and the El Capitan Theater. These three theaters are all in a row on Hollywood Boulevard within a couple blocks of each other. So some say that the guy who built the Egyptian Theater haunts the Egyptian Theater, that he attends screenings. And if you hear someone clapping loudly while the credits are rolling, that's Sid Grauman's ghost. So I got to see a spooky movie with maybe the founder of that theater. And after that, we went to the Tonga Hut, which is the oldest tiki bar in Los Angeles. My favorite tiki bar, the oldest tiki bar, and it was built in 1958, has a local ghost of its own, a beloved regular who had passed away at some point and now has her favorite seat that she still sits in and sometimes talks to people after hours who are there cleaning up after the bar has closed. Very interesting stuff. I have not seen either of these ghosts, but I did commune in their area on my birthday. So I do think that counts as a spooky birthday. Lastly, I'll add this is the third time that I saw Nope. Second time I saw it on the big screen, and there was a scene in it that despite having seen it two times previous, it still caught me off guard, and I screamed out loud, the loudest yelp in the theater, and then I heard a series of other yelps, so my scream scared other people, so I spread that scary joy on my birthday, lest you think I kept it all to myself. I'm always working, always spreading the Halloween cheer. Just like Kia, who is a Halloween journaling expert, a journaling expert in general, is the queen of cute ephemera. Make sure you check out Kia on Instagram at Kia Creates and also her website, kiacreates.co.uk, and on Patreon, Kia Creates. She's got a wonderful selection of stuff to choose from all year round that is spooky, cute, beautiful, whimsical, cottagecore, every kind of sweet journaling ephemera you could possibly want. Kia's got it. She draws it, designs it herself, and don't forget about her puzzle books. You can order those on Amazon. All right. Thank you, Kia. Absolutely loved hearing from you. And I can't wait to see how you and your house blow up in Halloween 2024. Our next eek mail has the subject line, a Halloween party on wheels. I love Halloween. I especially love the creativity of it. I'm glad I get to see thousands of houses and costumes online, but I cherish those magical 2 hours once a year when I get to see beautiful seasonal stuff that never makes it online. The people who get creative just for themselves and whatever random people they happen to pass. One thing really stood out to me Halloween 2023. I took some photos for you and the Luceo lanterns to enjoy to prove that this was real. I saw a mobile Halloween party on wheels. I heard this thing before I saw it. The classic 1958 Purple People Eater song was blasting from the speakers on a trailer pulling a party of kids and adults having a blast. I snapped a few pics as it drove past me and asked the folks on board, "What's going on?" Turns out it was a group of 5 families who take their kids trick-or-treating in this manner every year. The trailer is from one of their farms, and they decorate it together every year. Then, while their kids run from house to house trick-or-treating, the adults sit in the trailer and drink beer without ever being out of sight of the kids. The party was driven by a man in a Jack Sparrow costume, and the entire trailer was covered in lights and cobwebs. They even had multiple real jack-o'-lanterns on board and a giant painted wooden pumpkin on the side. I've also attached pictures of a very well-decorated house I admired that night. You can zoom in to find all the fun details. I included a close-up of my favorite, a skeleton hanging onto the edge of the roof. Also, a standout from another house was a tiny pumpkin inside of a larger pumpkin house. So cute! Happy Halloween! Sincerely, Allison. Wow, Allison, it sounds like you had a bang-up Halloween this time around. I love these pictures. Thank you so much for thinking of us and knowing that we needed to see them. Out of all the glorious Halloween stuff I've consumed in my time, I have yet to see a mobile Halloween party. This is such a fantastic idea, and you are so right. It's very rewarding to catch something Halloween-y in the moment that's not seen everywhere else. Of course, we love having access to everyone's memories and stories and experiences via our online communities. And that's obviously what's so fun about the podcast is connecting all of us together. But there is nothing like that moment. You're so right when you see something just for a few minutes or a few seconds, and it's yours. It's your experience that you share with this handful of other people, and you guys have this beautiful Halloween moment together, and then it's gone. And that's okay. I mean, you have these great pictures, right? But you experienced something that was just for you and the handful of people in your town who got to witness it. And that is an incredible experience to treasure. And I really hope you do. Thank you for giving us a little sliver of that magic that you got to have that night. I'm absolutely thrilled that you sent the picture of this extremely well-decorated house. Like you described, there is Halloween filling up every corner of this picture. They did a fantastic job. I also can't help but admire all the brown, crunchy leaves on the ground. I feel like my mouth is watering just looking at them. Now, stay with me. I don't eat leaves, but is there not just something so delectable about the smell of old leaves and the smell of fall? And when you crunch on a leaf, I feel like this incredible scent wafts up from them. And again, I'm not trying to eat them, but that scent, it fills your mouth and your nostrils, and it's part of fall as much as, you know, apple cider donuts and pumpkin pie. When I smell a crispy leaf, my mouth waters just as it would when I smell a pumpkin pie. You know, I feel like I am not doing a good enough job convincing you I don't eat fall leaves. I don't. Anyways, I first wanted to start talking about this picture because there is a series of jack-o'-lanterns in this photograph that is so clever. I cannot believe it. This family made a giant snake, perhaps an anaconda, out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, or maybe 12 pumpkins in a row. Made a really, the first one, a big snake face with like the eyes, the very snaky looking eyes. And then all of the other pumpkins behind it go down in size and have a cross hatching effect that looks like scales. And I have not seen, I feel like I've seen every kind of, you know, jack-o'-lantern as you were talking about online. You see so many different creative attempts at jack-o'-lanterns, but this is not a design I've ever seen before. And I am extremely impressed. I love it. I can't wait to share this picture with all of you out there in Halloween land. And shout out to that family with the mobile Halloween party. If you're out there listening, we would love to hear from you and how you conjured up this idea. Allison, thank you for taking us on this little trip with you. I feel like we got to be there that night, and it was a very special night indeed. All right, my lovely lanterns, I have to go back to crying and writing my vows for Isaac. I am so happy to finally be back. I've been working on this episode, I swear, for 3 months. Here I am talking to you guys about love. I don't need to explain love to you. You've been filling the inbox, the email box with love. You've been filling the hotline with love. Thank you so much. There's a ton to go through. We are back. We weren't really gone, but I know I haven't given you that many updates except for on Patreon and on Instagram. But yeah, I just need some extra time. So we're not going to be back to weekly stuff yet because of the wedding, but I will do another episode before the wedding and one after. And then I'm thinking in May we'll be able to get back to weekly episodes. It's just my life is changing in this big, exciting way. And I'm throwing a giant party that I thought wouldn't be as hard as it turns out it is to do. Anyways, you guys are the best. Thank you for sticking by. It's always Halloween and your forever haunted host, these days extra haunted. If you want to share your spine-tingling stories, art recommendations, or questions, please, please, please call into the All Hallows Hotline. You can do so internationally at 802-532-DEAD. Or if you don't want to spend all of your Halloween pennies and nickels on the hotline, if you live internationally, you can send me a voice memo. You can send that voice memo and any of your letters to our email, which is itsalwayshalloweenpodcast@gmail.com. As I said at the top of the episode, if you love It's Always Halloween, please subscribe at patreon.com/itsalwayshalloween. It's what helps keep things going. It's what helps keep our community alive, even when I need to take breaks. This episode of It's Always Halloween was written and produced by me, your forever haunted host, Luce Tomlin Brenner, with help from the Patreon Ghoul Gang and your fellow lanterns, Allison, Tessa, and Kia. This episode was co-produced and edited by Greg Nusson. Great job, Greg! Our theme music was written by Pete Burns, and our podcast art is by Rose Fedick. Special thanks to our Grimterns, Nathan and Tom. You can see pictures from today's episode and from all kinds of things we've done in the last 3 years on our Instagram at It's Always Halloween Podcast. And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at LTB Comedy and Greg at Greg Nusson. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please subscribe and write us a little review so that other like-minded lanterns can find us. I want to share a really lovely new one that made my day because just like people who joined Patreon during our break, for those of you who wrote any kind of review during our break, it is very helpful. So thank you so much to Jay Burb, cute, who wrote, I was feeling hungry for the Halloween spirit this year, and after listening to Girls Guts and Giallo, I remembered one of Annie Rose's guests mentioning she ran an all-year Halloween podcast. And let me tell you, this is exactly what the doctor ordered. Informative, comforting, and cultivating a broad network of Halloween-themed stories and traditions, this podcast kept me company and inspired me to do more than just watch horror movies this Halloween, even if it was just dressing up in a business-appropriate witch costume and bringing in a big bowl of candy to my office. Oh, I love that. Lucey is a delightful host, gentle and thoughtful, and enthusiastic in exploring the myriad of ways history has impacted our beloved holiday. If your restless spirit longs to bask in Halloweeny goodness, as always, Halloween has got your back. We do got your back, Jay. This is so lovely. Thank you. Extremely touched, and I love that you found a business appropriate way to celebrate Halloween. That's the thing that's hard when you're no longer in school and you have these events that are expected of you. Not every grown-up knows how to inject the Halloween spirit into their lives, and they need us, the lanterns, to shine our light on them and bring them that joy. All of you out there are doing it, and I love hearing your stories. So please keep them coming. We've got another episode coming in a couple of weeks. Remain patient, and then we'll get back to our regularly scheduled program. Wish me luck as I try to write my big feelings into words. And thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of It's Always Halloween. And please come back next time. Unless you get picked up by that mobile Halloween party and go on a wild joyride. If that happens, can you come pick me up too?